this.
The DL debate is brought to you by the Dry Arch Complex 24-hour service station, Letterkenny. We're here for all your needs.
Welcome one and all to another episode of the DL debate, where we will be discussing all things GAA this evening and doing our best to entertain you in these testing times. As it stands now, it looks like the GAA season, the county GAA season, is going to go ahead. Thankfully, a bit of joy for us in the winter months. Well, hopefully a bit of joy from a Donegal perspective. It could all end soon, but fingers crossed we get across the line with Tyrone in a couple of weeks in the championship. On this evening's show, of course, I'll be discussing the big game from yesterday, that victory of Donegal over Tyrone in the National Football League. And also, we look back to 25 years ago and our intermediate champions, who were Buncrana, with their star man, Paul McGonigal. But first up, to discuss yesterday's action, we're zooming right the way across to Ballygolly. Tyrone star Enda McGinley will join us, and our own Highland Radio analyst, Brenda Kilcoyne, joins us too to discuss all the action and look forward to the season ahead. Welcome to the show, lads.
Yes, Brendan.
Lads, first of all, Enda, I'd just like to say a note about your former teammate, the sad passing of Johnny Kern, such a young age, 33. Enda, just a word on Johnny.
Aye, Johnny was there. My last couple of years in the panel, Johnny was about. His nickname, I think, was something like Mad Dog, or certainly he was known as a bit of a wild fella, but in the absolute very best way that you'd use that term, he was full of warmth, full of chat, had no airs or graces, had no problem talking to anybody, and was just a real ball of energy to have about the place. Very, very affable fella. I met him actually several months ago up in the hospital, completely unrelated. He was fit and well. And again, just immediately a hugely warm character to chat to. He was just, even at that stage, I remember clearly, absolutely besotted with his young family that he had. And he was, I think, either building or maybe moving into a house at that stage, I'm not sure, but I remember us talking about that. And he was just full of life, as Johnny always was. And obviously for all of us, just to see somebody like that taken so abruptly, so sharply, so unfairly, it was really, really tough. Like, in fond memories of Johnny, surely, and we're all hurting. But, you know, any of us with a young family of our own, or a young home and a wife and everything, it's just the ultimate nightmare to think that something so sudden and unexpected and unfair can just come in and rob everybody of that. So just your heart has to go out to everybody today that's involved.
Sad, and so sad. Listen, heart goes out to family, surely. And I suppose I know from Mickey talking after the game, you know, there was this thing of, you know, what does sport matter? But, you know, turn our attention to that game, and that was, I suppose, such a tough thing hanging over so many people there, particularly people, you know, as you say, had played with and got to know him well. It was such a tough thing to go ahead and play the game of football. And from looking at the game as an overview, nobody knew what to expect coming back in there, how teams would manage this, you know, season that was just kind of thrown upon us. No form or, you know, anything to go back and into the game. Were you surprised by what you've seen, Enda, from Tyrone's perspective? I mean, I think from our own, we probably had some decent performances right across the board, and then four or five players really stood up, as you expect in most games. But from a Tyrone perspective, there was very few performances in there that you would say, you know, that lad played well over the course of the game.
Yeah, I suppose the first thing is you have to realise how early and how raw a state of tune these teams are at this stage, and Tyrone with their avoidance of challenge matches is probably going to be even earlier in that course. I thought several of the fellas were moving really, really well, and I was very happy with it. I think the shape that the defence has taken is really, really encouraging. I think we know and have done for a long time that Tyrone is slightly weaker up front. To that end, I think Conor McKenna has went from being somebody that we were hoping might be able to play a bit of ball this year and might be able to show a bit of form, to very quickly be sort of becoming our main man after yesterday. And he will continue to improve. You had Petey Hart that was missing yesterday, will come in and will help that as well. But from a Tyrone point of view, I suppose it was a work in progress. It was matter of blowing off the cobwebs. Nothing is going to be won yesterday in terms of what the team is looking to achieve. They have put themselves right back into a relegation battle now, which they would have preferred not to, which means next week's game in Mayo is a much more difficult proposition. But it is what it is. I don't think Tyrone will lose too much sleep over that result yesterday, as long as we see an upward curve and a few more players starting to show form.
Yeah, of course, Colm Kavanagh missing, Cal McShane, you know, the big losses, then it's obviously Kavanagh retired, McShane out, so McKenna would be a plus point. Interestingly, saying that you thought that the defensive shape was okay. 217, are you happy enough with the Tyrone team conceding that?
I'm very liberal with that. And yet, for large parts of the game, it was really, there was huge numbers back. And the game, for me, was really dull for large periods by both teams. Just this sort of blanket defence that we've come to be used to. And a lot of lateral passing and a lot of very, very patient play, which is good on paper, but difficult to watch. No, I thought, I'm thinking more maybe in personnel. The likes of Liam Rafferty has the makings of a really, really good cornerback in there. Rowan McNamee is obviously strong and experienced. You have Michael McKiernan moving really well. You have McGeary, who came in at centre half back again. I think that could be more where he plays. Kieran McCann on the other wing. So it's all suddenly starting to look like a strong enough defensive unit. Absolutely, yes, it wasn't a good performance, and we conceded a lot. A lot of that was sort of poor mistakes, to be honest. Like, Jeffers, with three men diving into that tackle. Yes, it was a brilliant dummy, a lovely wee jink and a great turn of pace. But three senior county men all falling for the same dummy and leaving the heart of your defence open, like, that's not what you want to be seeing.
I think you would have given a bit of an ear bashing there for sure. And you know, again, and I don't want to be harsh on them in terms of, you're right, first game back, we don't want to ask too much. But Brendan, just looking at Donegal, you know, on the flip side, you know, both teams have come in this. I know Donegal played Roscommon and played Mayo in friendlies. You know, how much that would have helped them, you know, is arguable. But there was a kind of spring to a lot of Donegal's step yesterday. And with both teams coming in the same way, what would you put that down to?
Yeah, and I think Enda alluded to it there briefly, in that, you know, Donegal have played Mayo and Roscommon in challenge games. And I think it just left them that bit better prepared going into yesterday's game. You know, while Tyrone did have plenty, that the bodies back and the plenty of defensive shape, their defensive shape was pretty decent. And it was very similar to what we've seen from Tyrone from the last number of years. But, you know, they do have to adjust to get into a new sweeper in place. And you'd have to wonder, you know, would big Colm Kavanagh have been coming out arm stretch at Pather Morgan if he was still playing that role, possibly? And would he have got sucked in for the Murphy pass for the Jamie Brennan goal in the second half? Probably not, because he just played that role very quick. And it just takes a bit of tweaking on Tyrone's behalf to get them things right. From a Donegal perspective, you know, they did look in good shape, Brendan. They played really well, you know, and that doesn't mean to say that there isn't room for improvement there too. But, you know, hitting 217 against Tyrone any day is a decent score, so it is. Now, you know, they did concede and a couple of goals. Now, I did feel the penalty in the first half was very unfortunate. It did keep Tyrone in the game. And then the second goal was a turnover ball from the middle of the field. I think it was Darrell Boyle who kicked across, tried to kick a crossfield pass that was intercepted. And it was some finish from Connor that, you know, he looked really good at the edge of the square when he went in there in the second half. But I thought Donegal dealt well with a lot of what was thrown at them yesterday, both physically and the way that they were set up. So, you know, Declan Bona will certainly be week's time. You know, you had perfect conditions for football yesterday. There was the breeze, the pitch was dry, the ball was dry. So, you know, you're going into different weather systems today, and God knows what we'll get Sunday week when they do meet again, Ballybuffet, Brendan.
Yeah, that's a good point about the weather. You know, we're thinking ahead of the championship, and I think we're just thinking, you know, as I say, hopefully all goes ahead, about how the championship normally turns out. As you say, the weather could have a big a bearing on that. You know, Tyrone end, you know, they conceded 225 to Galway back earlier in the league before the break, and they turned around to beat Dublin. So, again, certainly not something to over analyze this one game. And I think we're all waiting for it. And I think it'd be probably dangerous for Donegal to think that was Tyrone. As you say, a very was a really impressive Rafferty. You know, we spoke about that yesterday. You know, but obviously the big plus was McKenna and the absolute power of this man. And I was saying straight away in the second half, why doesn't Tyrone isolate him inside? Then I started to think it's hard keeping him back. You know, in terms of is this a ploy they're going to wait and use? Because I don't see one on one anybody being able to handle this man.
He is he's exceptionally strong. I was really impressed with him yesterday, and it was the small things, maybe things that can be missed. It was once or twice he lost the ball in contact, and the ball was on the ground, and I'm sure you would have picked up it if you caught it on TV. It was just the quickness of his feet work and the quickness of his hands was exceptionally good in really tight circumstances, and usually you only get that after you've been playing a lot. So the fact that he was able to bring that to bear yesterday was really impressive. I don't think we've seen his full running game in full flight, so I do think he can be even more dangerous coming through the middle. I thought yesterday Tyrone's running game never really got going much at all, to be honest. They were quite laborious in how they were trying to break down Donegal at times, and that real brilliant counter-attacking game that is them at their best just didn't quite get going, and I think McKenna would be massive in that. It's huge flattery to describe it in such terms, but McKenna could well go on to become Tyrone sort of Murphy in that you sort of want him in both positions. He's a huge threat, obviously, inside. Just as you say, the power, he's got the power, and he's got agility, and he's got feet, and you can already see yesterday, even though first game in a Tyrone senior jersey, He is a leader immediately, and the team are looking to him, which is massive. But I think he will also, his legs, which didn't really get going yesterday, as I say, through that middle third, I think that's going to be a huge thing too. So I think you'll see him a wee bit like Donegal using Murphy. I think you'll see him playing in and playing out, and he could well play that role, mixing with the likes of Petey Hart, who can play both roles as well, and might give Petey Hart a wee bit more freedom than sometimes he's afforded in big games. So for Tyrone, there's plenty of potential, and agree with Brendan. You know, that was first game. The two challenge matches, I don't care, I've seen it at every level, they make massive, massive differences, especially when you see how Mayo was going yesterday in Galway. So Tyrone, that was dust the cobwebs off. The fact that they lost and Donegal pretty much had it their own way. Like, I do agree the penalty was fortuitous, to say the least, and sort of glossed over things from a Tyrone perspective. Donegal were definitely the better team, operating at a better level. But look, we know from previous years, there's nothing between these two teams. So when Tyrone get going better, I would expect the same again. And as you rightly pointed out, I was trying to think who Tyrone played before Dublin. People were writing off Tyrone. They looked horrible against Galway, turned around and beat Dublin the next day. So 1 week makes a massive difference, and I think this year in particular, we have to take all of these performances in early league games with a decent pinch of salt.
Just before we get that last game, yesterday Mike Fannerty described McKenna as a cross between Aidan O'Shea and Clifford, which was an interesting way of describing him, and I thought it kind of summed him up as well. If he becomes the next Michael Murphy, we'll be in trouble in Donegal here with the Tyrone lads. Brendan, just a quick look to Donegal next week. Go down to Kerry. How would you play this now? Because strangely enough, and it was the same as Tyrone yesterday, Tyrone, if it had won yesterday, could actually won the league. And mathematically, although it's very doubtful, Donegal could potentially won the league should Dublin and Galway draw, and Donegal won in Kerry. But listen, wins in Kerry are few and far between, and I think probably the smart money would be a weakened Donegal team going down to fulfil the fixture.
Yeah, possibly so, you know, but momentum in football is a massive thing too, and Donegal will take a lot of pleasure out of beating Tyrone, albeit in a league game yesterday. And they're going down to the Kingdom on this weekend, Brendan. I would imagine, you know, that the players want to go down and perform against the best teams. They can't complain about not being fresh. You know, there have been no inter-county games for the last 7 months. So, you know, maybe Declan Bonner will look at an opportunity. Maybe the likes of Jason McGee needs to get an hour's football into his legs. You know, it's good to see Stephen McManaman, another hour of football in his legs, will do the world of good tomorrow. But I don't think the fatigue should be a major issue, and that they can go down and, you know, play Kerry at the game and use it as good preparation for the challenge of Tyrone coming back to McCool Park in 2 weeks' time. You know, there was very young team that Donegal yesterday. You know, you look at the likes of Niall O'Donnell leading it out the centre from centre half forward and looked really good on the ball. Now, okay, he did get turned over a couple of times, but he looked really dangerous every time he got the ball. And by playing these games, these players will get a lot of confidence, Brendan. So, you know, it's a tricky one for Declan. It's a game that, you know, brilliant that they're not going down with any pressure, but they still will want to get game time into a few of these lads going into that Tyrone game. You know, from a Tyrone perspective, you know, you just look at them, and maybe Enda might be able to answer a couple of the queries, you know, but, you know, you look at the likes of Mark Bradley, Lee Brennan, Conor McCallisky, you know, I know Ronan O'Neill came on late and Dazzler was playing, but these are all really quality inside forwards that Mickey seems to reluctant to use in their more natural role. Now, I don't know how many of them. I don't think Lee Brennan might be involved this year, but, like, there's such quality there within Tyrone football that we saw through the club championship. And, you know, you see some of them guys playing off Conor McKenna. It could be a fairly awesome force, so it could, if they could get something like that going. And just looking, you know, at the forward line from yesterday, I thought it was disappointing from a Tyrone point of view. You know, Conor Myler, Conor McCann, Matty Donnelly needed the game. You know, he'd be better in a couple of weeks' time. But a few of these guys didn't really contribute in an attacking sense yesterday, I felt, Brendan.
Yeah, certainly. You know, that's a point, and I've been looking at Tyrone for years, and I've been at games and a lot of them along with yourself. I've always felt that there's a wee bit of a defence first thing with Tyrone, and if they opened up that bit more, I think they'd be so much more dangerous. And I just get that feeling when you see that with the likes, obviously, Lee Brennan, you know, Darren McCurry stepped away previously, you know, O'Neill has as well, that I get the feeling from a forwards perspective, maybe they're not enjoying being forwards enough, if you know what I mean. And I think with Donegal, when you look yesterday to the kind of the sharpness of the likes of McHugh or Mogan, or as Brennan was saying, Niall O'Donnell and Jamie Brennan, it looks like they maybe enjoy the football a bit more, which is very important if you're going to get to your best game. What's the feeling in Tyrone around that, and around these forwards that are coming in and out, and there seems to be a wee bit of unhappiness there?
Yeah, look, the feeling in Tyrone would depend who you're talking to. There is plenty of people, as you're well aware, would not be fans of Mickey Hart at the minute. And one of the big things that they use to beat him with is this lack of using forwards. And they'll always point to the great club performances of Lee Brennan, of Darren McCurry, of these other forwards, and say, why are we not using them players? We've got the forward talent. Why are we not seeing them at county level? But you know more than anybody, Brendan, know the difference between standing out at a club level game and being a top intercounty level forward. It is poles apart in terms of the level and expectation that you need to be executing. So in terms of Darren McCurry, like we've seen yesterday, he tore up the championship throne, but it was at intermediate level and he was unmarkable by and large. But yesterday he was much more subdued. Ronan O'Neill, Lee Brennan, they have all had significant amounts of game time before, and with every one brilliant game or one brilliant substitute appearance, they then would go on to have quiet or disappointing games. Cathal McShane was the person that changed that narrative, that had a good game, backed it up with other good games, and even when teams really started to put attention on him, stood up again. And that's the type of forward you have. Unfortunately, we have a collection of forwards who are really talented, but who have always struggled to give that consistent week in, week out main man threat that is exceptionally difficult. Like, it's impossible for the likes of me as a player to have ever given that, and loads of others. So few. They are the gold dust within our game. And Tyrone have struggled to find them. I think Cathal McShane, we found one. We seem to have, although again, that was one season. The big forwards can do it season upon season.
And just a thing on that, it's very interesting, that point, Enda, and I totally get what you're saying. I think you're 100% right, particularly with O'Neill and even the unbelievable skills of Lee Brennan. They're much more suited to the club game, and I definitely get that. I just get the feeling, Enda, that the tactics of Tyrone doesn't help those guys be their best. Now, I get your point, but very much about that. It's such a different world, but it's almost as if whenever Declan Bodor came in, they took over, and you know, the Rory Gallagher horror years of the terrible football we were playing, and how regressive and negative we were, was actually stopping our players maybe come up and play. And Declan Bodor came in and said, right, we're going to go at teams. We're also going to drop back. I mean, we've seen it yesterday. Both teams dropped when they had the end of it. But there just seems to be that extra wee incentive coming from training and coming from the management to go and play. And I think you're right, but I think maybe Tyrone aren't giving those players enough of a platform to go out and play that. But that bit more of that freedom that they do with it just seems like their defenders nearly first at times, you know.
Yeah, no, I'd agree, and that's the conundrum. It's do you switch to a much more attacking sort of philosophy and go more in the front foot when you're worried that you definitely have the forward talent to pull it off, or do you stick to a system that has sort of played you well enough at times? And that's where, I suppose, me looking in, I looked at that personnel in terms of defence with Rory Brennan in the other corner, although I think his silliness at the end of the game will mean we're robbed of him come championship time. But I think personnel-wise, that defence could hold most forwards and do a very reasonable job if we get a wee bit braver and push on up the pitch. And I would absolutely love to see that. And I do agree with the point that you're making, that if we are very defensive, it's very hard for the likes of them other forwards who maybe aren't leading forwards, but they're brilliant link forwards, to not be able to have their full effect on the game when they're falling back so deep and coming up, and the forward line isn't really playing in a way that suits maybe the talents of that particular group of boys. Mark Bradley, I suppose, would be the one, the most exciting one, but again, physically, he's small in stature. But I'd agree with Brent, the likes of him in alongside Conor McKenna, that has to be an interesting proposition, because Bradley's brains and his movement is outstanding, you know, and the game and the fight in him. I'd be really interested to see him, but undoubtedly Mickey Hart has turned this over in his head multiple times, and he's the one in training that is seeing what these boys are capable of. And if he not lacks the faith in them, but continues to think that the system that the team is playing brings out its best, I would still probably believe in that. And I still think that in terms of that drone team, whenever they're reaching All-Ireland semi-finals and reaching All-Ireland finals, I think that's that team at its best. And even this year, if the championship plays out and they manage to get over Donegal, that team can definitely go on and do something, particularly now with the likes of McKenna. But it is critical that we get one or two of them other forwards to really hit a really good run of form. And with that, Tyrone could be a really difficult proposition for any team.
Yeah, I certainly think they will. Brendan, just last word from you, Brendan, around Donegal. You know, Paddy Birdie, they come back. Langa, they come back. McGee, come on, sub towards the end of the game yesterday. No injuries yesterday and a good performance. You know, a lot of plus points for Donegal now coming in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, a lot of plus points, and it was a good, solid performance. And again, it's been led out by by Michael and Ryan McHugh, were both superb yesterday. And, you know, Huey gives so much stability around the middle of the park. But the other players are really growing in confidence around them. The likes of Niall O'Donnell, Pather Morgan, Kieran Thompson has had better games than he had yesterday, but we know what he can do. You know, we know he can kick scores on the big day. Oisin Gallen was brought in yesterday and again didn't live up to maybe the hype and the expectation. But again, the game will do him good. So Donegal are in a pretty good place. And, you know, with Michael Langan to come back in, Patrick to come back in, there are going to be selection headaches there. So there are. Now, you know, I go back to the point, Tyrone have to travel to Castlebar next weekend, and that's going to be a really tough assignment. But if Tyrone were to get something out of that game, they're coming back with their tails up to Ballybuffet the following weekend, Brendan. And on the converse side then, if, as we discussed earlier, Donegal go weaken team to Kerry, take the defeat on the chin, might be a bit, you know, knocked a bit of the momentum out of them. So, you know, there's different vagaries at play here. So there are, and how teams approach the next game this weekend kind of thing, and then how that leaves them going into the final game against, or going into Saturday, Sunday week against each other in Ballybuffet again. But listen, it promises to be hugely. I think we're going to see a completely different game. Donegal, Declan Bonner, manager, will be really happy with where they're at the moment. His key men look in good shape. Neil McGee looks solid as a rock at full back, so he does. Now, you know, there was that last 10 minutes where Conor McKenna did cause mayhem in there. He kicked the goal, and he kicked two excellent points. So, you know, perhaps at least now Donegal will be forewarned about that, and we'll be able to set up some sort of plan to ensure that that doesn't reoccur Sunday week. But Donegal in a good place. But the question is, how do they keep that going now over next weekend as they head down to the south of the country, Brendan?
That's a one, Brendan. Big trip to Kerry. And just lastly, you mentioned there, obviously, yeah, Mark Bradley, Peter Hart. Do you expect them guys to be back? And as we said, never right off Tyrone. You know, we threw back the earlier in the year, terrible performance at Galway, turned around and beat the unbeatable Dubs. So, you know, if it was Tyrone at this week, in terms of, it's a funny momentum swing, because you could say Donegal now can concentrate on Tyrone and they throw out whatever team they do against Kerry. I'm not too sure how they're going to play that game, but certainly they won't be all guns blazing, if you like. Whereas Tyrone, if they do pull off a great performance against Mayo, it'll give them huge momentum then going into McCool Park. They say, right, we got our bad game out of the system. We go, we beat Mayo, we stay in Division 1, and we come in the Balbuffet to win the game.
Yeah, it's a really, really difficult one for Tyrone. The way the fixtures are planned out, Monaghan, I think, are playing Meath next week, where you would expect Monaghan to pick up points. And then if Monaghan do pick up points against Meath, that means it all comes down to Tyrone v Mayo. And a winner take all clash down there in terms of who stays up and who's relegated. It's very clear Division 1 teams, the need to stay in Division 1 is massive. Tyrone have quite recently been down in Division 2. They'll now want to be down there. Mayo were phenomenal against Galway. So that's going to be a huge challenge for them. And again, it'll only be Tyrone's second game. And they're in an early state of tune, but only 1 week later, they're taking on Donegal. So it's a really, really difficult challenge for Tyrone. Their discipline is going to have to be better against Mayo. They certainly can't afford to be losing any more men when they've done that against Donegal. But I think they'll be going down to Mayo with as good an effort as they can put out, and in the belief that week-on-week game will bring them on. Mickey, I know we won the championship in, I think it was 2005, and we had a string of week-on-week games, famously back when he was managing Maryhill. We had won an Ulster club with 4 or 5 games on the trot. So Mickey loves actually week-on-week games and sees a massive momentum that a team can gather through that. And so I think he'll be quite happy going down to Mayo, going as all out as they can, and then preparing, getting the rest, getting the recovery in the legs, and going to Donegal. With that defeat yesterday and with the men that Donegal are to bring in, I think Donegal have put themselves in the favourites camp. Tyrone will like that all right, and if they can survive next week against Mayo, they'll be happy enough to play 3 weeks in the trot at a very high level, rather than Mickey was always very, very uncomfortable with these sort of games that you sort of let go or put out a weakened team. I think that would scare him more than the prospect of going down to Mayo and going at it as well as they can.
Yeah. A small veiled warning there from Enda McGinley. Mickey Hart loves week on week. You better watch your back, Donegal. All set up for a titanic tussle. We even got through that, lads, without mentioning the ref yesterday, Jerome Henry. Mayo man and Brendan Kilcoyne Sligo man resisted a dig at him. The poor refs will not even go there. It wasn't the greatest game from him. But anyway, he'll learn and get better. Maybe he had to blow some cobwebs off as well. Listen, Enda, thanks so much for joining us. I'll see you in a few weeks, hopefully at Balbuffet. Come on.
Absolutely, you can bring the tea.
Come and be in your best behaviour. Brendan, I'll see you around, lads. Thanks so much for joining us this evening on the DL Debate.
No problem, Brendan. Thank you.
Good luck, guys. Right, folks, now in the show we take a look back at our champions from 25 years ago here in club football. And I know our senior champions get paraded on county final day, which can't happen this year, so I wanted to throw that back. That was Killy Beggs. I also wanted to look at the different champions, different championships, and the intermediate champions from 25 years ago was Bob Crana. And their midfield talisman there, a person who would go on to represent the county, was Paul McGonigal, and he joins us on the line. How are you, Paul?
All good, Brendan. Thanks very much. Yeah, all good.
Paul, thanks so much for joining us. Of course, now you're a member of the backroom team at Donegal. Before we go back 25 years, we'll just go back to yesterday, Paul. And first of all, can I just say thanks so much for the work that you're doing with Donegal. It was a brilliant performance yesterday. But personally, I know the amount of time that you must put into that and the organising of the team. It's a huge commitment. So first of all, I want to thank you for doing that. And as I say, thanks yesterday to the lads. It was a great performance, really satisfying a victory after the long layoff.
Yeah, I appreciate that, Brendan. Thanks very much. Yeah, you're right. A lot of people don't see the energy, the time, the commitment, the effort that goes in, not just myself, but from Declan and obviously on all the management and backroom team as well. There was significant sacrifices made there yesterday and every day, for that matter. You know, I left the house just before 12 and got into the 9:00 o'clock, which would have been similar for most lads. But I mean, the people that give the most service and commitment are the players themselves, you know, so and obviously their families that make the sacrifices as well. But no, a good result. It sort of puts us in a bit more control of what we do over the course of the next 13 days now in advance of what's going to be a different match when we meet again now on Sunday week. But no, it was nice to get the win and put our minds at ease going to Kerry. this weekend needing a result while they're looking to win the league. This Sunday would have been a difficult proposition for us, but thankfully now it was a good performance yesterday. We put that to one side.
Yeah, it was vital, it was vital. And tell me now, we're going to Kerry to put them to the sword. That's the only way forward, Paul. I'll not put you on the spot about that. Well, listen, it is what it is now. You know, we don't, as you said, the last place you want to be going nearly is down to Kerry for a result. But anyway, listen, we'll leave that to the rest of the boys to scrap it out now, Paul. The main thing was yesterday, a lot of people were worried about injuries and the pace of the game, etc. But we seemed to come through it unscathed. And of course, like McBurdy, Hugh McFadden, and Langan, are they all close to playing, Paul?
It would be, Brennan. Yeah, they were probably held back a little bit more so than anything. So we're hoping coming into the weekend now that we'll have a full squad to choose from, which is obviously a great position to be in, but it's always a difficult one at the same time. So other than, you know, Conor Morrison's long-term injury, we don't have anything too radical there at the moment. So hopefully, between Cahill and the medical team, we can get the boys all up to speed that we can maybe get a bit of time in their legs coming up this weekend and get them ready for the Tyrone game. I mean, the Tyrone game is always, we make no secret, Declan, make no secret that our championship is foremost in our minds. So that hasn't changed despite the delay. So that's really what we're keeping an eye on.
Yeah, just Enda McGinley was on before you there. You know, we were just talking back about Tyrone shifting 225 to Galway earlier in the league and them turn around and beat Dublin. So, you know, very much, I know that the attitude there is put, there was some good performances in there, good workout, but park it now and it's, let's look ahead to getting over that Kerry game and then into the championship, Paul. But certainly, in terms of how the team acquitted themselves, you know, because both teams were coming in. I know we had a couple of friendlies which they didn't play, but really, yeah, there was that wee bit of spark from us, which was great to see.
Yeah, it was. No, it was our third game there, and I think that did tell to some extent. And I don't think there's any team, the possible exception of Mayo, seem to be in good form at the moment. There's nobody really going, you know, at 100%, and it's not feasible, it's not possible to be in that position because of the preparation times. And we also had the stuttering start that we had as well with the COVID issues at the start of when we came back into training again. So, I mean, you'd have to be pleased, but again, it's come back now to knuckling down and getting the work done over the course of the next 2 weeks and making sure we can put in a better shift and a better performance against Tyrone in the championship, because it's going to take more than that, and more than ourselves. Shipping 213 yesterday, we won't be pleased with that there either. So we've a lot to work on. But we appreciate that, we understand that, and we'll get stuck on it from this evening onwards, really.
Yeah, good man, Paul. Just zooming you back now to 1995, you were a young buck, hey, coming up through the ranks. You were about to make your mark not only with Bungrana, of course, but with Donegal. But that championship won back in 95, you know, huge championship, Paul. And I suppose the reason that this kind of sparked off, because I could remember looking back to around this time that I won a junior championship, and I remember the buzz of it. And then obviously I was lucky enough to win a few seniors, but I remember the time as a player, the excitement, say, and the team and the squad, there didn't seem to be a lot of difference in it. That's why I think it's important to look back, because you have a lot of tough days in football. But just that season, Paul, how it evolved and how great it was for the Bungrana area to win that title.
Yeah, it was a bit of a strange one, in all honesty, and I agree with you. I think any championship win for any club at any level is very significant. And I mean, even since that, we slipped back into junior there last year, and I know the momentum that we'll get from winning that will prove a big boost to the club and to the community for that matter. But back to 1995, it was really a strange year, because the year prior to that, we'd actually been relegated from Division 2 in Donegal to Division 3, and I remember a conversation on the bus with one of the lads on the bus saying maybe it would be the best thing that would happen to us, because it allowed us to regroup and it allowed us to go and win matches at Division 3 and maybe get a bit of confidence back. But without trying to be flippant, much of what happened in 1995 was very fluky, to be honest with you, Brendan. It wasn't so much as we had set our stall. We were in Division 3. We weren't even on the radar in terms of winning the championship. And with the structures that were in place then, we played three matches, quarter-final, semi-final, final, and we were all against Division 2 oppositions, and, you know, good oppositions. We had St. Michael's, we had Full Masters in the first game, really good Full Masters side, an up-and-coming team as well, and we had St. Michael's, I think, in the semi-final, and then St. Mawls, who would be, you know, very well established intermediate at that stage in the final. But I know when we... Thursday was our last training session before the first round, the quarter final, and being straight with you, there was actually six lads in the session. The session was on the Shore Greens in Bungrana. I'm not sure if you're familiar with it, in front of the from the leisure centre, because we'd actually no pitch available to ourselves at the time. We bought ground, but we didn't actually have a home to play on at the time, so we had no training facilities either. We trained on the show greens. There was no posts. The cover move was two footballs. So it was a very strange, surreal time and experience for our club. We have to remember that, just a bit of context on it, our club was only re-established back in about 1983. Brendan, we won a junior in 1988, and this was only 1995, and looking back even from that junior team to the intermediate team, there was only about four or five survivors in the entire squad to the intermediate team just a few years later. Buncrana itself at the time was probably starting to really boom. For the Loon was flat out. There was big employment, and there was a lot more people coming home rather than going away, and it really started and kick-started the whole town and the community at the time. And certainly the 1995 win itself had a big, big impact on the club and the community. It really ingrained and galvanised the club. And it was only, 5 years later then we won our first minor title. We won back-to-back 16s. And then I think in 2000 we won an intermediate reserve as well. And then in 2004 we won the intermediate reserves and senior game on the same day then as well. So we were really starting to move in the right direction. And I've no doubt about it, between, you know, Donegal's win in 1992, getting things on the map, and then that big win for the club in 1995, that really created a great impetus in the club, along with the physical development of the facilities that we bought at the time as well, and it really pushed the club forward for the next 10 to 15 years and beyond.
Yeah, listen, I know the show real well. I even worked for Fruit and Loom one summer. It wasn't going to last too long, Paul, but they were good times. I was about 17 then, put in some brilliant shifts for them, I must say. Paul, good times around then, you're right. I remember the buses going down and there was jobs for everybody, basically. And, of course, it was going to leave a hole after that when it pulled out as well. But, Paul, just the late inception of the club, is that just, you know, we all know what's down in Inishowen all the time and in Buncrana, that, you know, the soccer being so huge there between Hearts and Celtic and that. Was that the reason for it? It had that real soccer first kind of influence around the area?
No, well, it's hard, no, Brennan, to put in exact reasons for it. I mean, a lot of it was to do with emigration, to be honest with you. I mean, the club functioned in the 60s as well. I actually played in the minor final in the late 60s. If you go back far enough, Buncrana won a senior championship in Derry in 1933. So we've tracked our history previously. It came down to people, it came down to tradition, it came down to what was available. And then what would have happened in the 50s, 60s, there was so much mass immigration. And then lads returning then were returning with soccer, with football, because they weren't returning with a Gaelic football background. And that's where sort of the soccer clubs evolved out of. In the early 80s, the late Danny O'Brien and PJ Hallen, and he's still with us, thankfully. I can still picture in my mind an advert that they put in the Derry Journal to see who was interested in playing the game. So that sort of kick-started things. My own age group, I mean, we were about the second or third underage team that was in the reformed club at that time. You know, Leo Gills and Steve McFadden and a few of these other lads would have been a year or two older than us, and they were sort of the first underage squad, and we were kind of the second, third underage squad in the entire club. So I think people tend to forget that we're sort of relatively young, you know, for whatever the reasons are, but I think we've moved very much on from those days now at this stage.
Yeah, well, it's just such a tougher thing. You know, so many other areas, you know, the hotbeds of GAA in the county, you know, it's just all GAA, and then you were playing catch-up. But that championship was hugely important, and likes of yourself, of course, you know, going to play for Donegal, you know, such a huge light to young lads in Buncrana that, listen, it can go all the way. You know, you come on to Donegal, I remember you coming in, you know, first thing that struck me about you were really down-to-earth guy, but you have fantastic attitude, which I'm sure is helping Donegal now as well. But that must have been great for Buncrana, for the likes of yourself to come up there. It's always important to have that focus point, and for you to go and represent Buncrana then at Donegal level.
Winning in 1995 had a huge influence on me personally, Benin, and I can speak for a lot of the lads. We had nine actually under-21s in that team, in the starting team that day, and like myself and the twins, Stephen, we were the oldest of those 21s. Everybody else was 20, 19 and 18 in that group. So we were a very, very young group. It was a strange team because we had four lads actually from the Niamh Paddy Gascoigne Club. They had no senior team at the time, so they were actually playing along with us at senior level, and some of the lads was at reserve level as well. And obviously then they formed the club a few years later, and that changed the dynamic of the group. We also had a few lads. Our captain was James Malone from Clare. Brilliant Gael, still in touch with James. He's back down in Clare now. He would have been a huge advocate of the club, and he was a great fundraiser for the club two times of development. Eunan Walsh actually was our corner forward.
Could you actually, Paul? I'm here, and you could actually have a go at naming that 15, could you?
I probably could. Or
go for it, Derek. Go for it. We'll have to give him the shout out.
David Kennedy. He was up from he's a nephew of Dr. Kennedy McCranny. He was up at the LAIT at the time. Played all multiple sports. Great sportsman altogether. David was a goal assist. I keep slagging him because he never took the kickouts, so he's a glorified ball boy. Brendan McColgan involved in the Padraig club as well. Cornerback Stephen Doherty Tinney, who's the principal at College of Kinloan here in Buncrana, but he's based in Letterkenny. A lot of football Letterkenny Gales up there recently was our fullback. Adrian McColgan played at wing forward first. I'll go back to the cornerback in a second. So the cornerback was Eamon Doherty, actually from the Illies outside Buncrana. Based in Derry ever since as well. Don't see much of Eamon anymore, but a Tigerish cornerback. Half-back line, David McConnell, who's the current chairman of the club. So again, you know, talking about people that had a huge influence on, was wing-back. And Leo Gill played on the other side, and Adrian McColgan played in the half-back line. Adrian McColgan played in the half-back line, Kieran Canning played in the half-back line. Myself and Dermot McColgan was in the middle of the field with me. Dermot, he played a lot of underage football with Donegal and had success with the vocational schools team, and he was a bit of a shame. And Dermot could do the 100 metres in just under 11 seconds, which means he was the slightly slower of the two midfielders, but he could play ball now, so he could. Half-forward line, Leo McColgan as well in that half-forward line, and Leo Gill was on it. He started to find in the half-forward line and he was back to half-back, and then full-forward line was Sean T. Murphy, as we know him. And Stephen, the brother, was at full forward. And Matthew McNamee actually was in the other corner. He came in for Eunan Walsh, who was actually on his honeymoon for the final. He married a Buncrana lady just a week or two before the final. And despite efforts to get the game changed, Eunan was absent for that there. And I was chatting with Stephen, the brother, about coming on here. So was Ben. And then Stephen said to remind Eunan that he still is the only man that wins him all his medals for him. But, you know, in the bench then, we had Paul Scott, Dermot Lavin, another Brendan Murphy. We had Hugh Doherty, some of the older stalwarts, Hugh Doherty, and then God rest, Pat Flynn is one member of the squad we lost earlier on this year as well. So a great blend. We were a crowd of boys, to be honest with you, we were a crowd of boys that looked to enjoy ourselves. Mm. And even going to that first game, there was a couple of lads who had a very good night out, even the night before that first game. But whatever notion we took that day, and under the guidance of Sean Kirkin, we really went at full masters in the first game, and we just scraped out a result. And as I mentioned earlier, we had 6-7 lads at training on the Thursday night. And when I arrived at training on the following Tuesday night, there was 24 lads on the Shiel Greens before we landed there. So, you know, even that game, that victory had a big impact on us and set a wee bit of belief about it. But in that intervening period as well, we lost a very, very good club stalwart in John McFadden. John McSnix, he was a big, big community man, and he was a big Buncrana GA man. He died very suddenly. He was actually under 50 at the time, and his son Stephen was actually training the team at the time, and he was a huge loss to the community, a huge loss to the club and obviously his family. But it galvanised us somewhat as well and gave us that extra bit of motivation and bit of heart, and we'd no shortage of lads on the group there that when they put their mind to something, they could achieve anything, and it in many ways made us stronger and made us more focused on what we were doing, and we put the work in after that, and we put the discipline in after that as well, and we got a reward ultimately.
Fantastic stuff, Paul. That's a brilliant roundup there, I must admit. And of course, Buncrana, you know, strengths is strengths. Some brilliant underage stuff with Sean Clerkin. You know, hurling is going really well. The club, brilliant facilities. And again, you know, really putting their stamp down there in terms of promoting GAA in the area. Paul, listen, that was a great sum up. Thanks so much for joining us and sharing the story of 25 years ago, Buncrana Intermediate Champions.
That's grand. And just before I go, can I just make one last statement as well, just in relation to the weekend there. We lost some really important Gales and people in our communities, both with Johnny Curran's passing in Tyrone and also young Donegal O'Hare in Mobile. And just want to send out behalf of Declan and the squad and everybody involved in Donegal our deepest sympathies to all their family, all their circle, and all the GAA circle as well in the communities at those tragic losses. It gives us all a sense of perspective as well.
Well said, Paul. Listen, no problem. Thanks for that. I agree. That's okay. Great, Paul. Thanks so much for that, Paul. And I will see you, no doubt, in the coming weeks.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Paul. Right, folks, that's a wrap. Again, thanks so much to my guests, Brenda Kilcoyne, Enda McGinley, and Paul McGonigal for wrapping up what was 25 years ago their intermediate championship victory for Buncrana. Next week's a bank holiday, so I'm taking a week off, and maybe good timing with Donegal going down to Kerry. There's no pressure on this game. We'll rejoin you in a couple of weeks' time for all the action from that big championship clash between Donegal and Tyrone and Balbuffet. Really looking forward to this one, and I'll chat to you all then.
The DL Debate is brought to you by the Dry Arch Complex 24-hour service station, Letterkenny. We're here for all your needs.